Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Is the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Scumbags! Let's rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Level 2. The Monday Night Meltdown. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. We're kicking it. George Kurtz will step up and in and join us. We got Rick Saratella still, so we're talking baseball. We'll talk some hockey. I did want to get into that Robin Leonard stuff a little bit. Pretty crazy weekend. There's been a lot of stuff, but there's so many games and series to talk about. I've sort of laid off the sports takes a little bit over the last couple of nights. But there's been a couple of things, actually, that I wanted to get to that are worthy of getting to. There's a lot of stuff going on, like, you know, we could spend hours talking about. But like I said, there's so many games and series and all that type of stuff. But congratulations to Bubba Wallace. Bubba Wallace becomes the first black driver to win a NASCAR since 1963, winning in Alabama, too, is ultra cool. And a lot of people don't realize, but the team owner is Michael Jordan. So congratulations to the great Michael Jordan. He wins again. He wins his first ever NASCAR race, like real race. You know, he owns like motorcycle teams too. Jordan likes racing a lot, right? He's from North Carolina, so he grew up around this stuff. So Jordan actually owns the team that Bubba Wallace drives for. You know, they got McDonald's, their sponsors, it's big time, and they won. So it's Jordan's first win. It's Bubba Wallace's first win. So good stuff right there. And I want, you know, I want to throw it out there as far as, like, so I saw over the weekend, though, in Alabama, there's a new chant going on, like, in the South and stuff, like college football games and NASCAR. F Joe Biden. F Joe Biden. F Joe Biden. And I guarantee you, these are the same jackasses that panic every time a black guy talks about anything in the real world that say, stick to sports, man. Can you imagine, like, if you went to, like, a Knick game and everyone just chanted F Donald Trump ball game? Fox News and these people would have a heart attack. It's all funny, though, right? Like, it's like people are just such hypocrites. It's like, it's funny. Like, how many of these people hated Kaepernick, right? Just keep politics out of sports. But I totally get it. When I'm watching a NASCAR race, I don't want to hear about Joe Biden or Donald Trump. I'm watching a race. Right? I'm watching a NASCAR race. I don't care who you voted for, some jackass in the stands. I don't care. I don't care if you're vaccinated. I don't care, like, if you're shot or not. And I don't care if you get shot with a bullet or a vaccination. Like, I don't care about you. One way or the other, I don't care. Right? So that's the whole thing. But it's just funny. It's funny, like, these people are, like, nut jobs. They want to keep politics out of sports, and then they chant about a president at a sporting event. It's like, okay, that makes sense. It's funny because I never heard the NBA fans chant about politics. Thought the NBA was all woke, right? It's like Ice-T said once, freedom of speech, just watch what you say. That's how wars start. Everybody believes in freedom of speech until they don't like what the other person's saying. Late night anger management class. It's level 2. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. We're kicking it on the Monday Night Meltdown. Rick Saratella is going to step up today. We got George Kurtz joining us in a couple of moments. By now, you're aware. And I was thinking about that too because they had Chris Berman's fastest 3 minutes in sports, right? Tonight, and I was thinking, like, wow, it really is not the same as it used to be, right? Remember, like, they used to have Sunday Night Football, and Berman would come on, and it actually was cool. You know, I don't know, it's cool knowing everything all the time right now. It is and it isn't. you know, we live in like the biggest jackass society. Like, look, I was born in 1970. So, like, I lived through the 70s. You know, I was a teenager in the 80s. So I know these generations. I know the 70s. I know the 80s. I know the 90s. I know now. And people are stupider than ever. Why do you think we don't really take phone calls? Like, what's the point? You know what I mean? Like, most people are too stupid to operate a phone. Like, trolls in chat rooms. Like, you guys, like... I remember I used to be on the radio, and I'd be entertained, man. We'd have, like, funny, like, crank calls, and, like, they'd actually make me laugh and stuff. Like, I'd be like, God, like, it's like, yeah, they got me, but, man, that was funny. Like, you hear me? I'd be like, man, these guys, I remember telling someone, I said, man, these guys are creative little son of a bitches, these guys. I was getting mad about it, like, in the old days, about, like, radio feuds and all this stuff, and I was like, these kids are creative, man. I'm going to fight back somehow, and I had to, like, you know, use my brain to, like, beat these kids down. And nowadays, it's like, man, I don't know if you guys are all, like, joining us from, like, a mental institution or something like that, like, on a nightly basis. I mean, you should see some of the people in our chat room. Like, let's put it this way. The wrong people have gotten COVID and died in this world. It's all, you know, and these people vote. Like I said, these people vote. Like, I don't know how, like, some of you guys actually get your computers. I wonder about that. Did mommy buy them for you? Did the government? Was it, like, some government program for, like, the mentally insane?
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Paying to give you guys computers. How do you guys have the internet? Like, how do you function and pay your bills? None of you have jobs. You don't do anything besides, like, obsess about big men on campus all day and stuff. See, guys, you're discussing his finances. Like, yeah, you know his finances, right? Dumber than ever. I stand by. Prove me wrong. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Hey. You tell that son of a bitch no Yankee is ever coming to Houston.
Not as long as you bastards are running things.
Hey, now speak up, George. I can't hear you. You tell that son of a bitch no Yankee is ever coming to Houston. Not as long as you bastards are running things. George.
I actually forget why I was talking about, like, why I was on a rampage and raging on the way out the last segment. Now I remember why I got triggered by seeing the San Jose Sharks lost in a shootout. Of course they do. Like, we talked about it last week. I always lose shootouts. Like, always, always, always. There's another one. We did win. I think we won a game or two in overtime tonight. Yeah. Screw the Ducks. Screw the Oregon Ducks and the Anaheim Ducks. Sorry, Matias. Do we have Kurtz? Is Kurtz here?
Wow. Harsh.
What's up, Kurtz? I'm with you. What the hell do the Ducks in Oregon know? Those guys in California and Oregon. I'm with you. East Coast bias, Kurtz. They suck. They don't know anything.
It's the calm before the storm, all right? I've got like 20 hours for I have to worry about the Yankees and be unhappy tomorrow night when they're not hitting again. So I'm in a good mood. You know, Yanks are in. Cowboys are playing well. Things are, you know, I'm not being teased yet. You know, so the Yankees are going to drive me crazy tomorrow. The Cowboys will somehow manage to lose to the Giants on Sunday and things will go back to normal.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait for that. My boy Danny Dimes played great over the weekend. You want to talk about tease? Like, how about those poor bastards, the Blue Jay fans, George, over the weekend? How about that yesterday? 5-1. It was 5-1. You guys were scoreless all game. If you can, get Kurtz's level up or get closer to the mic a little, Kurtz. I got my volume on 10, and maybe I'm deaf, but just get Kurtz louder here. But, yeah, Kurtz, it was 5-1. You guys were scoreless. Were you stressed out when it was scoreless all game on Sunday?
You had to be. I mean, the Yankees weren't hitting. Gabe, I felt like the Rays were just toying with the Yankees all weekend. They had nothing to play for. They were taking out their top stars at the three innings and going with every reliever they could find. All right, yesterday was almost like a joke. Every guy's going one inning, and then finally it's like, you know, Cash goes, we can't go to extra innings here. Fine, we'll throw in the soft tossing left-hander so you can win and we can get the hell out of here. It's almost like he just wanted to leave. Go ahead, you guys can win. We can go home. We don't want extra innings. This is a joke. Like I said, I think the Rays are just laughing at the Red Sox, laughing at the Yankees, knowing we're going to beat either one of you. We don't care who you play on Thursday. It doesn't matter here. As for the Jays, though, you know, I understand Jays fans being upset the way it ended, you know, because Boston came back on Saturday, too. They could have lost that game as well. But the Jays' future is bright.
Yeah,
we know they can hit, right? They know they can hit. You might lose Robbie Ray. He's going to get a – I know the Jays can afford it if they want to, but he might get a massive contract someplace else. Someone's going to want the left-hand who strikes people out, who's pitching in the American League East. All right, he's going to get a big contract. Still, you know, there'll be other guys you can go out there and grab there.
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to be with the Yankees, Rays, Red Sox. This is going to be the division from once again.
I think they'll keep Semien.
They'll keep one. I think they'll keep one.
Yeah. I said it the other day. Maybe it was a little ambitious about them if they weren't playing. If they didn't play in Buffalo and Florida, they would have won a division. But
I don't know about division, but playoffs.
They were 25-11 at the Rogers Center, and they were .500 on the neutral fields. Kind of like 25-11 is pretty dominant. .694 winning percentage, nearly 70% of their games. Just quickly, I know it's not about the Jays, but I just see this. The Toronto Star tweeted out, sports section just tweeted out a couple of hours ago, George, said Blue Jay fans should probably not look at these numbers. Like, if you think about it, George, how does a team that, what, they got like five guys that hit 30 home runs or whatever, like, got a bunch of 100 home run guys, 100 RBI guys, you need maybe the Cy Young Award winner. Like, just quickly about this, 91, the Jays were one of four teams in the American League East to win 91 or more games, the first time in baseball in the sixth division wildcard era that happened since 1994. The Blue Jays were 25-11 at the Rogers Center, marked the best winning percentage at home in a season. 262 Blue Jay home runs in 2021, five more than a previous franchise record set in 2010, also a Major League Baseball high. Nine grand slams by the Blue Jays this year, which tied a franchise record set in 2000. 1,218 Toronto Blue Jays struck out less than any other team in Major League Baseball this year. 73 home runs by Semien and Bichette this season, the most by a middle infield pairing in Major League Baseball history. 4 Alex Manoah became the first rookie in American League history to log double-digit strikeouts in four starts since the Yankees. Shiro Tanaka in 2014. Like, how do you miss, like, George? It's kind of weird. It sounds like they had a hell of a year with all of this. One game.
I mean, and you can go over all the, you know, if you go look all through the season, oh, that's a game we should. How did we lose that game? Yeah, we've all played that in the past. I think out of all the stats, I think you mentioned it when you went off there, is the one that I sort of laughed at, or I really felt bad for the Jays, that you look at all the fourth place teams in baseball, you got 69 wins, 68 wins, 72. It's always that until you get to the Jays, 90. And like, oh, that's just awful. It's an awful feeling. I mean, it has to be an awful feeling. But like I said, if I'm a Jays, you're in the wrong division, but you're a team that can spend money. You're not going to spend like the Yankees and the Red Sox. So the Jays can spend money. This is not a small market team. They'll be there. I think it's going to be every year, though, for a while, though. One of these four teams, you know, it's going to be the odd man out. Maybe next year it's the Yankees, the Red Sox, whoever it might be. But that's they can't point. All make it, and it's going to be a problem for a while.
I think they'll redo the format after the CBA, right? Next year's the last year of this contract.
Right? They're going to add extra?
Yeah, and buys. I think they'll have a couple of teams getting a buy. We had Matt Snyder on from CBS earlier. Crush your Pepsi there, Kurtz. I actually got a Pepsi here myself.
cheers.
We were talking about Matt Snyder. Talking about that, like two teams would get a bye type thing. More like football used to be. I don't know, like more traditional sport. They're always tweaking with stuff. There's only one more year next year before the CBA blows up, and who knows what's going to happen. But I agree.
The CBA's done now.
Oh, this
year's the problem. This is it.
Is it the last year?
This is the last year. CBA's done right, now, right after the World Series.
Yeah, you're right. Time flew by after the pandemic. You're right, dear God. Oh, so there won't even be baseball next year. What the hell am I even talking
162.
About?
Not 162. Right.
You know the owners don't even want to play 162. We saw that last time. They're less the better. They like their playoffs. Let's play 52 games in the playoffs.
They might do it again. They might pull that kind of crap. They're being sued.
Remember, George? Remember when it's happening right now? Yeah, he said we never had an intention. We were never going to play 110 games. Because remember, guys, 2 years ago, it's hard to forget all this, and now it's all coming back to me. Be right. Remember, the union said, we want to play ball. We'll play ball. Let's play 114 games. Like, let's go. And the owners delayed it and kept blaming the players in the media. And then Manfred, being the genius that he is, said, oh, we never had any intention of ever playing more than 81 games.
Exhibit A.
Exactly. Right away, the union was like, all right, thank you very much. We'll see you in court. You're gonna reimburse us for the millions of dollars you just spent on lawyers. Dude, and they have a rightful case. He admitted it. That's the classic negotiating in bad faith, Kurtz.
Yeah, that's not a joke by being sarcastic. That's Exhibit A. I'm playing that over and over again. Every chance I get, I'm playing that. Oh, no, we never had any chance. Oh, no, we never had any intention of doing it. Oh, no, never. Yeah, over and over, I want the judge to hear that. I think the going is going to get screwed in this when it ever gets done. Now, I also don't wonder if this never comes to a conclusion and if it's part of the new CBA. The players get something for this to go away, whatever it might. It won't be with DH, but it may have to be something bigger than that. But they'll get something to make it go away. But, my guess is, Gabe, I don't think the season starts next year until May at the earliest, because I think this will drag out a while. And if I had a bet on a number of games, I may would mean, 25 games are gone, so it's 137. I'd probably go under that.
So the runners on second base, not in the playoffs now, but for the record, the players like that, right? The players like the runner on second base thing because it gets them out of there faster. Right. It's just a job to them. Like, they don't want to, like, they
like it. You like it if Cardano said, hey, you only need to do a 2-hour show tonight, but we'll pay you for three.
Yeah, you're right. Say, no, I'm going to fight the union against it. You're right, right? I'd be like, all right, well, they want to pay me. and managers don't mind it because it saves their arms for their whatever. Right? It's like, we're going to win or lose.
The media loves it, too, because the media gets to get the hell out of there.
Exactly. So the whole thing is now Manfred's talking about taking it away due to tradition. Like, he cares about tradition. You call the World Series trophy a piece of tin. No, he's only doing that because the players like it. Like you said, they're already playing games, right? Let's screw around with this because the players like this. So let's say we're going to take it away. More with Kurtz on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, listen, I need some cash.
What for?
I just need it, that's all.
Oh, no. Don't tell me. You're gambling again, aren't you? Oh, you weak, weak man.
Late Night Anger Management Class, this is Sports Rage. I am RNC. Let's do it. George Kurtz kicking it with us. All right, we can wax poetic about the Toronto Blue Jays. I just want to bring it up and bring up the pain and throw some of these numbers. But let's get into it, Kurtz, here. Big game. How do you feel about the game? Like, are you really excited? You're kind of down, right? You don't really think the Yankees can win the World Series anyways. Like, what's your feeling about this game the night of your excitement level as a fan?
Well, you're right. I don't think the Yankees could win. Like I said, I think they'll play Tampa Bay. I think Tampa Bay will go through them. But I'm still feeling. I want the Yankees. I hate Boston, right? I think I hate Boston more than Tampa. So I still want to win.
Do you really hate the Red Sox for real? Like, you hate them?
It's hard to hate them. Hate them because we bet on these teams, right? Fantasy wise, I might have Red Sox on fantasy teams. So it's hard to hate them. Playing in a playoff league where I have a lot of Red Sox, including Eovaldi tomorrow night. So it is what it is. But I want the Yankees to win. It's the fandom in me. I do feel a little bit nervous now, and it's what? We have 19 hours before the game starts. I got a hockey draft during this game, too. Unfortunately, it was bad timing.
Fantasy hockey, really?
Yeah, fantasy hockey.
You guys need a player? Not for me, but I know somebody was looking for a hockey draft.
Nah, the league is done. It's got 12 teams already. So that is what it is as far as that. But I mean, I feel good. Everything sort of points towards the Yankees. They just finished that three-game sweep in Fenway. So they're not worried about Fenway Park. That doesn't bother them. They have their ace on the mound, and Gerrit Cole. They're going up against Eovaldi. Everything points to the Yankees except this. Eovaldi has faced the Yankees six times this year. Six times, by the way. So every series Eovaldi pitched in. They only played each other six series. Outside of the last series, and that one where the Yankees swept, he got bombed. 2.2 innings pitched, seven runs, seven hits, no strikeouts. But the other five, he always went at least five innings, only gave up max of two runs, always struck out at least six. So what's the truth here? Is he just getting tired at the end of the year? Was it because the Yankees added Gallo and Rizzo? Is that why they hit him last time? So that's the worry there. Cole has been up and down against the Red Sox. You know, he's only made four starts against them. His last start, once again, was against the Eovaldi. Kind of funny there. Pitched okay, six innings pitch. What's considered a quality start nowadays. Six inning pitch, three runs, five hits, six strikeouts. He has gotten bombed once by them, and he had one dominant game versus them. My only worry is this. Cole, since that hamstring injury in Toronto, hasn't been the same guy. His ERA is almost approaching seven. You look at his starts, he had one really good start against Baltimore, got wrecked against Cleveland, pretty much wrecked against Toronto, and then one other okay start. That was the Toronto one. So in four starts, he's been blah. You know, so you wonder which Cole is going to show up tomorrow. He does get the extra day's rest, so that's a good thing there. The Yankees' bullpen is rocking. That should be good. But my biggest worry outside of Cole would be, are they going to hit? I don't know. I honestly don't know if they're going to hit tomorrow.
George Kurtz kicking it with us. As looking at the numbers, as you brought up, so Nathan Eovaldi, in his first five starts this year against the Yankees, 2.01 run average. He got lit up in the sweep at Fenway. But this is a key here. If you're Cora, just don't pitch to them. Like, you know what I mean? You pick your spot. Like, I'm curious to see how they're going to approach this, and I'm talking about, look, Judge and Stanton, you know, Stanton's been on fire, but Judge and Rizzo are two guys that have had success, but the rest of the lineup can't really hurt him, I don't think, George. So I'm curious to see what the Red Sox are going to do. Are they going to intentionally walk guys? I don't know, but what would you do? You know what I mean? Of course, you can't just pitch to these guys like last time.
I'm a big believer in don't let the big guy beat me. And in other words, that's Judge. Right? I know Stanton hit all the home runs, but that was against the bullpen. I am not letting Judge beat me early on. I'm just listen, if Gallo does it, if Gallo wakes up, fine. What's he batting, 120 as a Yankee? Like I said, if he's the guy who beats me, what am I going to do? You know, all the numbers said pitched to him. He's been hitting like crap with the Yankees, not doing anything. But
yeah, Judge is the guy, you're right. You take your chances with Stanton, you can strike him out. You hope for the best.
Anybody but Judge. Yeah. Anyone but Judge.
Rizzo's 5-for-9 with three doubles against Eovaldi. But Eovaldi's kind of getting underestimated here a little bit, isn't he? And as far as you mentioned it with Cole, let's be real, man. For the record, you want to talk about a guy that comes in hot. And Aaron Judge, he doesn't get the attention, but Rafael Devers is killing the ball right now, George. This guy's carrying this baseball team right now.
Yes, he's the guy on the Red Sox you don't want to beat you. I don't know if J.D. Martinez is going to play tomorrow.
I know.
He turned his ankle on the base. He, Cora being very coy about that. I don't think he would have told you either way, by the way. If he was healthy, he wasn't going to say it. If he's not healthy, I'll give the Yankees something to think about if he doesn't play. Or if he does play, how hobbled he may or may not be. But Devers is the guy. All right, Devers is.
Or can you get him
guy.
In that bat, Kirk Gibson style? Can he swing a bat? You know what I mean?
Listen, if they need him late, if he doesn't play, then you know that ankle is terrible, right? Because you're right. I mean, once again, if they need a right-handed bat late, let's say against Peralta or Jolly Rodriguez, and he's not the guy coming up, well, then you know the ankle's terrible.
We don't know, or can you give us a couple innings? All right, listen, we don't want you can't stand around for 4 hours. We get it, but what can you give us? You know what I mean?
Can you DH? What?
Yeah.
That's okay. Can you DH?
Yeah. Can you stand? Can you stand? Exactly.
So like I said, if he's not in there, because he don't even to play the field. If he's not in there, then I'm guessing he's out for the game, because that means he just can't do it. I understand it's more than standing. Can he run the bases, too? I understand that. But in my mind, you tape that up, right? You do the old bloody soft thing with Curt Schilling. You take,
let's be real. You're swinging for the fences anyways. You'll take your chances, right? You're swinging for the fences. Like,
my guess is he's in.
Man, yeah, you got, like you said, he'd have to be really injured not to play. So this is the I'm looking here at the history. It's a lot of fun here. Because actually, it's one of my, not my first baseball memories, but right up there. So they have played This will be the fifth time, George, they played an elimination game. 1949. What happened?
Yeah, I wasn't alive for that one. The Yankees won. The Yankees won the first three.
Okay.
Yeah, the Yankees won the first three.
1978, Bucky Dent, right?
That one I remember.
That, me too. That's the thing, too. Like, my first baseball memories are like 1975. For whatever reason, I remember Willie Stargell and the Expos at Jerry Park before Olympic Stadium, Kurt. So you remember the old stadium, Jerry Park? So it was before Olympic Stadium.
I do not.
No, so yeah, it's like the Olympic Stadium opened up in 77 after the Olympics in 76. So, and so that's my first baseball memories, going to the Expo games with my grandfather. And then I remember the World Series, George, of Carlton Fisk pushing the ball. Yeah, trying to keep
that's
it fair.
Great.
Yeah, like, you know, that's
you
classic,
know the story
right?
behind that, right? That
classic.
The cameraman being on him was an accident?
Yeah.
Because of the rat or something in the scoreboard or whatever, wherever he was. There was a rat there. He got scared. He didn't move the camera. That's hilarious.
It's a famous, I got goosebumps now, I'm a Red Sox fan, but yeah, it's like, so I was a kid. I remember that, right? And, you know, Bucky Dent. So we know about that. 2003 and 4, so... Which one was the comeback? 2004, that was the World Series and the greatest comeback, right? Yeah,
that was the great comeback. They were down 3-0. A-Rod slapped the ball out of the first baseman's glove.
Dave Robert. Oh, yeah, what a bitch move that was. You know, Dave Robert stole the base. The Expo, Dodgers manager stole the base to keep it going with two out. And what happened in 2003?
That was Aaron bleeping Boone.
That was the Boone game, huh? Okay.
That was the Boone game, yeah.
And that's why he's the manager now, because of that one home run.
You're not wrong, by the way.
I know. Like, let's be real. He doesn't hit that home run. Let's just say he struck out. Is he the manager of this team now? Hell no. Hell no.
Probably not. Listen, Boone is not the manager now, all right? He's not. He's really not the manager. And, no, and by the way, I know a lot of Yankee fans want Boone gone. You're never getting another manager. Not in this regime, anyway. Cashman's just going to hire another guy who's going to, you know, good with the media, good in the clubhouse. You're never going to have another manager. Don't let it be a Billy Martin or even a Joe Torre, for that matter. Not with this regime. This is true with a lot of teams, by the way. They don't want a manager. They want a yes man who's good with the media, good in the clubhouse, you know, can manage the ego, stuff like that. You'd like to have somebody who's good with the bullpen, but there's a lot of managers who aren't good with that.
So, for the record, ladies and gentlemen, Gerrit Cole this year against the Boston Red Sox. 7.64 earned run average and a 9.88 opponent OPS. He got lit up, bro. He had one good start. He had one solid start. Six innings there. He gave up three runs. Like, what do you think about the total?
His second start was also good. You left one out. Six innings pitched, okay, one run, sorry. Five hits, 11 strikeouts. That was the ace.
I'm sorry.
I wrote it all out here, man.
I'm sorry about that. I mean, he got lit up in Cleveland two Sundays ago, too, didn't he?
That's ever since he got that hamstring in Toronto. The hamstring has to be still bothering him. He's been crushed. I mean, yes, he did well against Baltimore.
He gives up home runs, George. That's the concern, isn't it?
Yes. Well, he's a fastball pitcher, right? I mean, you're not going to string together three hits against him. You're going to hit the long ball. That's why it's important not to walk anybody. And maybe another big fear is the Yankee defense. Not so good.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Not so good. They don't catch everything. They don't catch anything.
Yeah, they're all big dudes, right? Like they're built like football players. What do you think of the total? Because it was 8.5. Now it's down to 8. And I had a guest on last night. It's a smart baseball guy. He thinks it's going. He thought he was going over 8.5. Like, I know it's expected to rain, but it's not really going to be cold. But it is going to be raining, 61 degrees and rain. Man, like these pitchers, like neither one of them really instills fear. I know Cole's so-called ace, but it would shock you if it was 3-3 after five innings this game.
I have the final as 4-3. That's my final.
Yankees
win 4-3. I think what you said is sort of right. 3-3 after 5, maybe after 6. And then the Yankee bullpen takes care of it from there. I don't see it being high scoring because I don't think the Sox are going to destroy Cole. And I'd be shocked if the Yankees do the same thing they did to Eovaldi. They're just not hitting. They didn't hit all weekend. And that now because it's in Fenway and it's Boston because you beat them up 10 days ago, you're going to start hitting again? I guess it could happen. They certainly have seen Eovaldi enough. But like I said, they were horrific over the weekend. It was like you got one hit through eight innings? Are you kidding me? I was against these guys. I was not happy.
As we stated earlier, both teams 92 and 70. Red Sox won the season series 10-9. Run differential.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Night with Gabe Morency on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Hey Brian, care to place a wager? Tomorrow night on Fox's Celebrity Boxing, I've got Carol Channing beating Mike Tyson in 3 rounds.
Carol Channing. You've got Carol Channing, the actress, beating Mike Tyson, the boxer. Hell, give me $50 on Tyson.
Yeah, you're in good company. Betting Freddy took the same wager.
Yeah, George Kurtz kicking it with us. I am Morency, Gabriel Morency. We're talking baseball just quickly. Love stadium history. You should look it up right now, Georgie, in front of your computers. Punch it in. Jerry Park, Montreal baseball. Like on Google Images, it'll pop up here. You get the old shots. And you'll see. That's like, so that's where I went my first baseball games. So if you'll see the picture, if you look, see the second one, revisiting. I don't know if you're on the page. Google Images, Jerry Park, Montreal baseball. Revisiting 1969 expansion, Jerry Park. You see there's a pool behind the right field wall. Like, all right? There's like a pool. And a swimming pool. And it's like for kids. Like, it's so like, it was like, it's like a park, like behind the wall. And I was at a game, and Willie Stargell put it in the pool, George. Something you don't forget as a kid. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, wow. And they used to warn the kids in the pool, like, listen. But it wasn't common, like, to smash it over the wall, like, oh, out of the stadium into the pool. But Willie Stargell did. And it's crazy because Willie Stargell also has the longest home run in Olympic Stadium history in Montreal. I think it was 506 feet. He put it, like, in the upper deck, like, high up, man. And they actually made the seat gold. So, like, all the seats are red in that all section right. In those days. And where it hit, they made that seat, like, as a commemorative, like, yeah, man, it's where he hit the ball type thing. Willie Stargell pops, man. He was a hell of a player. But, yeah, Jerry Park, great memories. Like I said, I went. I was a kid. And I remember the pool and all that type of stuff. And interesting, now they turn it's the tennis stadium now. They have big-time tennis there. It's like a state-of-the-art tennis facility. Like, they have the Rogers Cup there and, like, part of the tennis tour. So it's all nice and classy and stuff now. But it used to just be this dumpy baseball stadium. Like you know, real cheap grandstands, no seats, like just benches everywhere, like a high school, you know what I mean? It wasn't even seats. It was just sort of like the benches everywhere. And like, but, you know, great memories. You always remember those first stadiums you went to. It's good times.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. I would not have thought, I don't think I've ever seen this before, I would not have thought this was anywhere near a Major League Baseball stadium. I mean, wow.
When you look at it, hey.
And it looks like, okay, minor leagues, okay, fine, I get it. I see the pool out there, you know, then the first thing, you know, Stargell hit it, 506. Nowadays, that would be ruled 475, by the way, because no one hits 500-foot home runs anymore. Statcast won't allow it.
You don't trust that stuff, like in the home run derby?
No way. Maybe the home run derby, fine, but no way in the regular season. I've seen stuff where, you know, one guy gets it, it's 417, yet it went like 2 feet over the 385 foot marker. Okay, how does that work?
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Two balls in the same spot. Other times, a 40-foot difference.
Yeah, other times too, it'll be in the triple upper deck, and they're like 440. It's like, come on, it's more than that. Like, you know what I mean?
Right. I don't know how they're going by this. Is it where it hit and that's where you're going, or are you extrapolating the distance where it would have gone if it didn't hit a seat? Yeah, you know, something doesn't make sense here. Yeah, you know, so it's fine, it's fun. But the thing with me is, really, no one hit a 500-foot home run. All the monster shots we saw this year, and we've seen some. I mean, holy God. but none of them ever went over 500 feet. They all stop at 495. 495 is the highest I've seen. You know, so I don't buy it at all. No, I think people have hit it, and they just don't want to say it for some reason, or they're embarrassed, whatever. So, no, I'm not buying it.
All right, longest home run ever recorded. 582 feet, Mile High Stadium.
Where'd that go?
Denver,
Oklahoma?
Denver Zephyrs.
582.
Yeah, it was the Triple A. Home run is measured. It's official. Home run was measured at a distance of 582 feet. That's what I'm saying, Kurtz. So I get there's altitude, but don't tell me this guy hit it 140 feet further than like Mike Trout can. You know what I mean?
Right. Doesn't make any sense. Who was it? Anybody that we know who hit it? Any guy? Did any guy make the majors?
Joey Meyer, his name. Joey Meyer.
Nah, it doesn't ring a bell to me.
I just punched in longest home run ever here. Let's see. Okay, here. Mickey Mantle.
Yeah, I remember. I know he hit 1 mile.
The mythical hit, longest home run ever. Estimated, but it's not proven. Because it was a rolling. I don't know. Was there no wall? 643 feet.
I think it might have been the one at Yankee Stadium that if it didn't barely hit it, they said it would have went out of Yankee Stadium to right. But once again, it's more guesswork. How far was the one that Tatis hit at Dodger Stadium the other day? What, a good 380?
That's a good point. Let's see. Location of Hankerson Stadium has been monument in this splits. Ted Williams. Longest home run in Fenway history. Ted Williams, 502.
I could sort of
Harmon,
buy that.
Harmon Killebrew hit one 520 feet in Metropolitan Stadium.
How about the ones that were hit out of Tiger Stadium all the time? How can they know how far Reggie Jackson's would have went in the All-Star game when it hit the damn lights? Or Cecil Field? Like, really,
as a Dodger
them.
Fan, I don't care where those Reggie Jackson home runs ended up, Kurtz. I know they went far against Steve Howe. I know they went far. all right, so you say 4-3. 4-3. Kurt says Yankees 4-3. Man, I'm torn on this game, Kurt. I'm leaning Red Sox. I think the Red Sox are going to beat you. Red Sox are going to beat you. 5-4 Red Sox. That's my pick. I got till tomorrow to change my mind, but I'm leaning. I'm going to throw it out there. 5-4. 5-4 Sox.
I guess, listen, I think 3-3 is going to be a 3-3, 4-3 when the relievers, when the starters go, and then the Yankees bullpen holds it down. That being said, you want to see me panic in my little room here? Let a one-run lead in Chapman come on in the ninth. You're kidding me. Because you know he's walking somebody. It's just a matter of the first batter, second batter, third batter. Now, someone's getting walked, and that guy's stealing second base because Higashioka will still be in there, and he can't throw anywhere. He bounces everything to every base, has no arm. So the Red Sox will definitely move on him, unless it's J.D. Martinez. I'll be flipping out. Listen. I think it's going to be a good game. I do. I think it's going to be, if you're not a fan, I think it'll be good baseball. If you are a fan, I think you're going to be, chewing your nails here. It's going to be that kind of game. I think it will be close. I think Cole will have a game. Not a dominant game, but he'll have a game. The problem is, like I said, for me, it's all about the Yankee offense. Gabe, I don't know if they're going to show. I just have no idea if they're going to show. They should feel good about Fenway, right? Because they just dominated the Red Sox in three games there. Although there was some weird pop flies. Yeah. You know, neither team could catch pop flies in that series. Weird. So we'll see what happens here. But if the Yankee offense is just average, I think they win the game. I think it's the only way they lose it. The Yankee offense just, once again, they play like they did over the weekend against the Rays where, everything, a three-hopper, the shortstop, the second base, little pop fly, little fly balls, nothing hit hard at all. Wouldn't shock me. Eovaldi has done that 5 out of 6 starts. So good game. We'll see.
George Kurtz with us. For the record, I remember you had Joey Meyer. He was sort of an average ball player. Yeah, but in the, Reed's saying he played for the Brewers. That was his minor league home run, 582, mile high. Probably when they were building Coors still or whatever, right? Before baseball, whatever, got there. Someone bring it up. Okay, yeah, with the Expos, Jerry Park, yeah. Rusty Staub was on the team, the expansion team. He was a big star in Montreal. Le Grand Orange, the Big Orange, they called him. And Ken Singleton. Yes, Ken Singleton, who just retired, and real class act, Ken Singleton. Great guy. Like, he's just great, eh? Like, great broadcaster, great player, class act. And I grew up, I was lucky. So Ken Singleton was on the Expos. And then I was spoiled, George. Like, people have great, you're talking about, there's different broadcast stuff. In Montreal, dude, Dave Van Horn is a Hall of Famer, right? So he was the play-by-play guy. And he did the Marlins after and stuff. But Dave Van Horn's a play-by-play guy. But imagine the color guys on the radio, George, as a kid growing up for me. Duke Snyder and Ken Singleton. It was a three-man booth. So they had the play-by-play guy, Duke Snyder, and Ken Singleton, bro. Because Duke Snyder played for the Montreal Royals. The Montreal Royals were the Brooklyn Dodgers farm team, right? Like Jackie Robinson played in Montreal before he played in Brooklyn. Like, that was just the first pro game with an African-American was in Montreal. It wasn't Brooklyn. Like, he played for the Montreal Royals. So there's a big connection with the Dodgers and Montreal and stuff. So Duke Snyder was the Expos color commentator alongside Ken Singleton. Great, great broadcast team.
Yeah, I'll miss Singleton. I liked him on the Yankees. Liked him a lot. Look out! Was always his favorite thing whenever an inside pitch. I think Singleton, he's been hinting at this for a couple of years. The Yankees kept talking him out of it. Just do 10, 15 games a year, this sort of thing. Well, just the ones that are close to your home. I think he lives in the Baltimore area, I believe. So they kept doing that. He kept coming back, which is great because I like Cone. I like O'Neill because of the stories they tell, and I think they have a lot of fun with the game. Cone is definitely big into analytics. I could probably do without K, but it is what it is there. But Singleton was sort of that pro that they had there. You understand? I was that pro broadcaster, and once again, he could go further back. Talk about games in the 70s, Eddie Murray and all that, and the Baltimore Orioles, the great Baltimore Orioles teams back then. So Singleton, I will miss. I enjoyed games that he broadcasts, which, granted, were very few and far between this season.
All right, so the Los Angeles Dodgers play in a wild card game, even though they won 106 games. Whatever. People are talking about format changes and all this. I'm not really crying about it. It is what it is. It's an anomaly. It's only happened four times before, all right, that a team has won this many games and didn't win a division. So it doesn't happen very often. Anyway, in the history of baseball, it's happened four times. It hasn't happened in like 100 years or whatever the hell it was. So it's a rarity. It is what it is. Adam Wainwright versus Max Scherzer. I'm not overly excited about this. And really, there's no reward because whoever wins this has to roll into San Francisco and the Bay Area on Friday. So, and they play Friday, Saturday, off day Sunday, and then Monday and Tuesday. I'm hoping it's the Dodgers. I think it will be the Dodgers. They lose Max Muncy, which doesn't help in a series. I think in a game they can get by with the Cardinals, but losing Max Muncy sucks, but the Dodgers are still deep anyways. Who do you like in this game with the Dodgers are now minus 225 at FanDuel, total 7.5?
Yeah, I like the Dodgers a bunch here. I do. Listen, you said, it is an anomaly, so I wouldn't panic about it either. That being said, I think this will be the last year of one-game series, by the way. I think that'll be at least two out of three next year. Once again, the playoffs will be expanded anyway, so there may be more playoff teams in there. But I think because of what's happening here, especially if the Dodgers were to lose this game, I think there's no chance it'll be any more one-game. So I think too many people will be crying foul here. But I like the Dodgers. It's hard. You talk about a difference of two starting pitchers. Scherzer, the power pitcher, going to pump it up there, 97+. And Wainwright, be lucky if he hits 90. He's a pitcher, going to try and hit corners there and move the ball up and down, off-speed pitch and all this other stuff. Muncy's a loss, no doubt. I think they'll feel that more as the playoffs go on, but I think they beat St. Louis. Probably don't think about it. Probably not as confident about it as I would have been before they won like 88 games in a row. They're certainly feeling it. And maybe if it was a lesser pitcher, that's why you love the Dodgers. If it wasn't Scherzer, it'd be Buehler. I wouldn't feel any better for Cardinals' chance if it was Buehler. I don't know if I'd feel any better for Urias pitching there. They can exactly. Dodgers go three deep. But
that's why if the Dodgers win, we're cool.
This is the biggest fear for the Dodgers, right? This one game. Because anything can happen here. They win this, I think the Dodgers win it all.
Yeah, so if they win this, though, as I was going to say, they just roll out Buehler in game one on Friday, Urias game two on Saturday, and then boom, they're right back to Scherzer in game three on Monday, right? So it sets up for them in that sense. It's like you said, it's one game, and it's hard not to remember the Cardinals putting up like 14 runs on the Braves early in that elimination game. Early, right? You never know. Like, it's one baseball game. More with Kurtz on the other side. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Chumba. Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Sports Rage. Kurt's kicking it with us. Captain Kurtz, Colonel Kurtz. I forget. I'm not trying to demote him. So, General? I don't know what I call him. It's all good. So, Dallas Cowboys rolling right now, playing some good football. How about them Cowboys? Cowboys playing some great football so far this year. Yet, this is a real pivotal game. I mean, the Eagle game was big. This is a little bit different now because even though they had this great start and they're 3-1, Kurtz, and the Giants are 1-3, Giants win this game. Suddenly, that's two wins. They're only one back. Suddenly, you guys got two losses. You know what I mean? Like, you win this game, the division really starts to take shape for the Dallas Cowboys. And I was on the Giants last week, and nobody wanted a piece of them. Oh, they don't have their this and that. No, Martinez is gone, and they don't have their wide receivers. This, yeah, they got wide receivers. They got a million wide receivers. So if a couple of them are out, it doesn't matter. Barkley's not 100%. He's not, like, back, but he's starting to catch some passes out of the backfield. I think he's starting to heat up. I figured it would take him a couple of games to get his legs back, and I think it is. But the fact is, Kurtz, New York Giants are now 18-3, dude. 18-3 against the spread last 21 times as a road underdog. It's amazing. They're a great road team.
Yeah, Dallas has generally handled them, especially in Dallas over the past couple of years. But what's, I think, as a Cowboy fan, you're like, I'm starting to believe, right? And please don't lose the game you should win now, because they would all be like, oh, we knew that. This is Dallas, right? This is the Dallas we expected. They look good one week, not good the next week. So, once again, you've always beaten the Giants. We know, I think you're a better team than the Giants. I don't think there's any doubt about that. It's in Dallas. It was in, I was at MetLife. I might feel a little differently. I think
Why?
Dallas takes care of business.
I just told you, they're 18-3 on the road. They suck at home. The Giants are a bad home team.
But Dallas is taken care of in Dallas. They've had could have a little bit more problem in MetLife here. And on that turf in Dallas and that dome, I don't see the Giants being able to stick with them. The Giants are still going to have injuries, but the Giants will be that team that will test the middle of that defensive line, which no one's doing. That's where the injuries are. Barkley will test that.
George Kurtz. Thanks, George.
Anytime. Go Yankees.
Late night anger management class.
Lost. Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.